Good morning and welcome to We Are Truly Never Alone, our Sunday workshop. My name is Ashwini. This workshop will be conducted in the privileged environment. For virtual workshops, that means to please ensure you are muted at all times unless you are actually speaking. Everyone is currently muted. If you want to speak on the call, please unmute yourself, however that works on the device you called in on. Say your name and wait to be called upon. Then please mute yourself again when you have finished speaking. Make sure your video and chat functions are turned off and stay off for the duration of the workshop. Please refer to the confirmation email on how to set this up. Please turn off radios, televisions, computers, cell phones, or other distractions in your environment. When speaking in group, speak from personal experience, and please don't offer advice to others or address other participants. Please keep everything confidential. Before we start, we would ask if you were someone who tends to speak up a lot in workshops and other calls, please leave space for those we don't get to hear from as often. So we're beginning this workshop with a song. If you would close your eyes as you listen to it.
Agatha fried, she made a pie, and Christopher John helped bake it. Christopher John, he mowed the lawn, and Agatha Fry helped rake it. Now Zachary Zug took out the rug, and Jennifer Joy helped shake it. Then Jennifer Joy, she made a toy, and Zachary Zug helped break it. And some kind of help is the kind of help that helping's all about. And some kind of help is the kind of help we all can do without.
All right. There is a kind of help we don't need, and there is the kind of help we do. We are never alone. We're always listening to something. For most of us, most of the time, we are with conditioned mind. Conditioned mind is framing everything we think, everything we feel, everything we do. It is always helping us to have the life it wants, one that will create suffering and sustenance for it. Today, we're going to practice consciously choosing who we want to be with, what kind of help we would actually appreciate. So if you would make yourself comfortable and close your eyes if they're not already closed, and begin by taking a few nice, long, deep, conscious breaths. Feel the air as it enters the body, fills the body, and then leaves the body. As you feel the breath in the body, notice if there are any places of tightness or tension. If so, with the next inhalation, breathe into those areas of tension, and with the exhalation, allow the tension to leave the body. Now take a moment to check in with emotions. Look to see if there are any feelings right now. Seeing if you can just notice without needing to change anything. And then checking in with the mind, noticing the state of the mind currently. Again, no need to change anything, just noticing. Now bring into awareness The activity you selected for this workshop as requested in the confirmation instructions. The simple, short, recurring activity in your life where you experience some resistance. Some examples that were offered were flossing your teeth, washing your face, doing a particular stretch, taking out the garbage. Something that is short, that does not involve interaction with other people, and that you do regularly and experience resistance. Allow that activity to come back to you now. See yourself in the activity. Notice, where are you? Notice what's around you. What are you wearing? Tune into the scene. Now invite into the activity the mentor, life, the divine, however that shows up for you right now. See the two of you approaching and doing this activity together. Perhaps you see this mentoring presence clearly, or it may be more of a sense of an energy. Just allow the two of you to be there together in this activity. Notice how you are together. Is there laughter, delight, perhaps quiet contentment? Are you appreciating one another's company? Maybe checking in around the day? Is there music? Are you dancing? What is it like to be engaged in this activity? The two of you in it together. What is it like to be engaged in this activity, the two of you, mentor, life, the divine, and you? engaged in this activity together. Now see the two of you finishing up the activity, bringing it to a close. And as you do that, begin to bring the attention back to the breath, back to the body, and at the bottom of an exhalation, please open your eyes and take some notes about what that experience was like. Be sure to note in particular the elements of how the two of you were together. Was there laughter, a sense of play, a quiet appreciation of each other's company, dancing, music during the activity? What was the quality of this experience? All right. So now we're going to go and make a recording. This is the recording you will make for the person to use during the activity you chose for that last imagery. For example, if I chose flossing my teeth, I'm going to make a recording for Ashwini to listen to the next time it's time for her to floss her teeth. A few encouragements and tips about this process, and I will say them slowly so you can take notes if you like. First, we would recommend you do the activity while you make the recording. In other words, don't sit on the couch and talk about flossing. Floss while you're doing the recording. So, for example, here I am making a recording for Ashwini to listen to while she's flossing her teeth. And when she listens to it, she can hear that I, too, am flossing my teeth. So do the activity while you're making the recording. Second, make it short. You may wish to start the recording a moment or so before the activity begins. Example, perhaps as you gather the supplies together or want to offer an encouragement to get started, perhaps there's a brief celebration and acknowledgement once the activity is complete, but keep it direct and to the point. Just long enough to get started and complete the activity. And three, see this session as a training, a practice. Don't get bogged down in feeling self-conscious or like it didn't come out right or whatever the voices are saying. Play with it. You have the rest of your life to keep finding out what this person you call you will want to hear and how she will want to hear it. So do the activity while making the recording. Keep it short. And see this as a practice or a training on how to make this sort of recording. We will have 12 minutes for this. Simply make the recording. Do not listen back to it. Just make it and come back on the call. So we'll be back at 30 minutes past the hour. You can jump off and call back in at 30 minutes past the hour. All right. We'd love to hear briefly from as many folks as possible about what it was like to make that recording. Star 6 to unmute.
Hi, this is Chris.
Chris.
So I chose to do the action of literally sitting down and making a daily schedule.
Uh-huh.
And a couple of things that I noticed, there was the experience that, you know, thinking about it, there was a lot of room to kind of think that I might do it wrong. And so, but then actually getting to do it and then realizing, like, by talking it out and saying, okay, well, I could move this over here, and then, oh, well, this would be great over there, and then it became much more flexible, and there wasn't really that feeling that I could mess it up.
Mm-hmm. So if I'm tracking, Chris, the help that you would not have wanted would have been the voices telling you in your head how you would do this and how you didn't want to do this, etc. But then in actually following the instruction of recording while you're doing it and assisting yourself through the process, it was a very different experience.
Exactly. Yeah, and there was, right, and I've done scheduling without making a recording while doing it. But I had a feeling that I could kind of get out of the unhelpful help and into the helpful help much more seamlessly.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. So if you use this technique of making the recording for the person who's going to be doing the schedule, there's a way in which we move through the resistance much more quickly. The transition happens easier.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Oh, did I get that right? Is that what you were pointing to?
Yes, exactly. That it was that, you know, it helped, I guess, the disidentification from, you know, from conditioned approach to scheduling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the disidentification from being the person subject to the voices to the person who's making a recording for the human being, Chris, who has to do this activity and could use some assistance.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's so important, isn't it? And so possible to do.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's just one kind of, you know, lesson that I think is endless, but just taking the steps to do it myself, or kind of being, you know, making that movement and not just theorizing about it and thinking about it, allows me to actually have that experience.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is the most important movement we can make from getting out of conditioned mind, thinking about helping myself do the schedule, actually helping myself doing the schedule.
Exactly, yep.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
This is Barbara.
Barbara.
Yes, great. So the activity that I chose was to go through a stack of papers that were sitting here next to me that I wanted to try to get rid of. And so as I was going through the activity and making the recording, I could feel this pull to keep things, you know, that this is kind of the struggle with getting rid of paper. And I got this encouragement and understanding from the mentor rather than these huge judgments about how I can never get rid of anything.
Uh-huh.
And the really wonderful thing that came out was the most encouraging thing was this reminder of why I want to do this.
Uh-huh.
Like a reminder why the heart wants, why there is this desire to be free of all this co- collecting things and holding on to things. And so that was just really nice and surprising.
Yes. So let me see two things you said, Barbara, that were so important. First of all, while you were doing this, while you would have done this before, you would have received this judgment about why on earth are you collecting all this and you can't get rid of this and that kind of sort of judgment. And while you were recording for the person who was doing this activity, the mentors was encouraging, right? So we don't have to listen to a conversation of judgment. We can listen to a conversation of encouragement. And the most important, it's so specific, right? You were reminded as to why you wanted to do this task. And that was at the forefront of the activity rather than the judgment of why on earth would you have this problem in the first place?
Yeah, it was just, what I noticed earlier in doing the, looking at the quality of the experience was there was this absence of all the pressure and judgment and all of that stuff that's normally there. And it wasn't that it didn't show up while I was doing the activity, because it did, but I was able to receive what I needed to kind of stay present to what it really felt like, what the heart really wanted in choosing this task.
Uh-huh. So the absence in the first, in the imagery, the kind of person you wanted to be with in this task, it was actually a quality of energy with the absence of judgment. And so...
Yeah.
Barbara, while you were recording, did you find yourself, you said you could hear the judgment, it did come up, but there was a way in which you could record past that you could go back to the encouragement and the helpfulness that this person was looking for, to be present with them during the activity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could hear the judgment, and I didn't indulge, it wasn't as indulged. I mean, I guess there was another energy that helped kind of lift me out of it or turn my attention to, you know, okay, and let's do, you know, kind of get not back on track in a just a gentle way of kind of coming back.
Yes.
Well,
and that's the beauty of that recording, right? Because we're making it, that's why we wanted to make the recording while we're doing the activity, because those judgments would come up, the voices would come up, and the way you want to deal with the voices is also important to be on the recording. Okay, well, there it is. That's the judgment. You don't have to listen to it. Let's get back to what we're doing here, which is having fun with doing this, and this is why you're doing this, and however that goes for you, right? Because it's so important to include the present, that experience of, well, it's not just that I'm doing the activity. I also get interfered with, and therefore I need the encouragement on the recording. Because it's going to happen the next time I do it.
Yes, exactly. To recognize that, I'm not suddenly going to be free of that. It's just a process of you know, that coming up and doing something different than I normally do, which is just get overwhelmed and stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going with the encouragement of the mentor. So that was really wonderful.
All right, wonderful. Going with the encouragement of the mentor rather than getting stopped and overwhelmed.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, thank you, Barbara.
Listen.
This is Justin.
Justin.
Hey, so I saw some, I ran into a situation where the activity I chose was downstairs in my house, and there was somebody already downstairs in that area. So, making the recording could be a little challenging. So I saw myself just kind of punting on doing the activity.
If there's anyone, Justin, who's not muted, can you please mute yourself, please? Go ahead, Justin. Sorry. So the activity you chose was downstairs, and there was someone else in that part of the house, so the recording was challenging to make.
Right, and then I found myself in a situation where I was just going to kind of punt on it and, like, kind of, oh, whatever, you know, that sucks. We're not going to be able to do this type of deal. And then I listened, so I was like, okay, well, I'll listen to recordings to do something, you know, productive, air quotes. And then a couple minutes into that experience, I was like, well, what is available now? And I looked around, and there's a pull-up bar, and I like to, you know, exercise upstairs. So I said, hey, maybe I can use that as my activity and make a recording while I do that.
That's really marvelous, because oftentimes the activity we want to do, for some reason, we can't do it. The resistance can show up in many forms, right? Mm-hmm. Including not just the resistance, but because the part of the activity that you are also doing is to record.
Uh-huh.
Right, Justin? That experience of feeling self-conscious that there was someone else around, and so you can't make the recording. And then we watch everything that's going on for us that focuses on why I can't do this rather than why I can do this, until that drops in. So what is available? Since the instructions
right.
make the recording while I do something that's encouraging and helpful to the person doing it, perhaps the original task is not available, but that doesn't mean I can't do the assignment with what's available now.
Yeah, exactly. And it feels like we've talked about this in the year long, but it's that focus of the attention on negation. So, you know, there's that process in which I'm in what's not possible. Oh, I can't do what I'm supposed to be doing. And then,
yeah
I don't know, I guess just getting to sit with that and probably listening to recordings was helpful. And then just seeing a minute or two later, like, well, there maybe is something possible. Maybe it's not what I thought it was going to be, but it's still here in this now.
Yeah. And what was that like to make that recording? I project you like to exercise, so it was not overcoming resistance, but what was that like to make the recording for the person who was exercising?
It was really encouraging, and it helped kind of solidify the connection between the mind and the body as
uh-huh.
I was making the recording, like doing pull-ups. And getting to kind of appreciate that connection, between the mind
uh-huh.
and the body.
So it sounded like there was a sense of deeper presence to being with yourself and in the experience as you were making that recording.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
This is Sarah.
Sarah.
Hi. So I had the experience of, I found that visualization that we did before really helpful because I had last night chosen to use doing some dishes as my task. And when we were invited to kind of imagine going through that task with the mentor, from that sort of mentor space, I immediately was able to see, oh, this person at the sink is really tired, and actually what they need is breakfast. So it went from being what I thought I had to do, which was accomplishing a goal, to a focus on caring for the human. And I have a really hard time getting started in the morning, so actually making that recording of going and caring for myself first thing in the morning was immensely helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So when we're invited to look at what we really need to do for ourselves, rather than be directed by a voice in the head which says your goal is to do dishes, there's
mm-hmm.
a way in which there's that experience of realizing, oh, I'm tired. Or this person
mm-hmm.
is tired. She really doesn't need to do the dishes right now. First of all, she needs to go get breakfast so that she feels all fueled up for whatever it is that the day holds. And it requires
mm-hmm.
us to step out of that driving, the drive of the voices in terms of a goal that has to be accomplished, to being present, to noticing what it is that that is really what the human needs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So the recording you made was while you were preparing breakfast?
Yes, it was.
Uh-huh,
uh-huh. And there were...
And what was that like?
I could see all the places in preparing breakfast where ego would normally be using its little helpful hints.
Uh-huh.
Commenting on my choices, or saying, actually, what will make you feel better isn't breakfast, it'll be going online, sort of things like that. Yeah, I thought, I saw a lot.
You saw a lot. And was it possible to and still keep the human being focused on what would take care of her?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so important to have the recorder, right, Sarah? Because without getting all of what's in the mind out onto the recorder, we are not in touch with what we're actually experiencing. I'm hungry, I'm tired, I really need to make breakfast. And even while I'm doing that activity, I have this barrage of critical voices trying to distract my attention from being present for myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful.
Thank you very much. No, I don't think so. I think that's it.
Great. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you.
This is Mary.
Mary?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. My task was clearing my counter, which includes different things that need to go in different places in my house and a pile of papers. And when I looked at it, at first I was going, I'm not going to finish this in this time. And I was recording and I was going, that's all right. Just do what you can in this time. And then I was kind of looking at, okay, what's going to make me, I chose to move big things off the counter first because it would show a little more progress.
Uh-huh.
And then I was looking at what could make this more fun. And so some of the things had to be moved to other parts of my house. And I thought, well, I could skip and to the other place in the house where that I'm taking this stuff to. So I tried that, and that was fun.
Uh-huh. Let me see if I'm tracking. So while you're making the recording, the first thing that shows up is the voice that says, well, you're not going to be able to do this on time, right? But instead of listening to that voice, as you're talking into the recorder, you find yourself hearing encouragement, I project, from that presence that's with you that's helpful. How about we move the larger pieces and then let's skip. So is that what you're saying, that while you're making the recording, you're hearing yourself say these suggestions and doing the suggestions?
Yes. And also projecting a little more about in the future, I could just set a time and get done what I can do in that time. And that's all right. That's good.
Yes. And so that was encouraging. Also, that encouragement came through. You don't have to worry about doing it all in this small period of time in this workshop. You could set a timer and do it later, and that would be perfectly fine.
Yes.
Yeah, and that made it onto your recording.
Yes.
Wonderful, isn't it? It's truly helpful. It says, it's not telling you, oh, you don't have the time to do it. It's actually suggesting how you might be able to organize yourself in order to get things done in a much more gentle and kind way.
Yes, and if I don't get it all done, that's all right.
The point is to have fun doing it, right? To skip.
Yes.
To enjoy yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's so much about how we do it, right, Mary? So if we get the counter done, it's going to drive us to do the next thing, and it's not going to give us any credit. Those voices are not going to give us any credit in what we got accomplished anyway. And yet, when we bring joy and relaxation and a sense of curiosity and fun to some experience, it's a totally different. What we get is really joy. Fun and curiosity, not just being driven from one task to the other and missing out on all of that other stuff that's available to us.
Right. And the other thing I realized from thinking about the thing before, in thinking about the mentor being there is I do enjoy doing projects and things with other people a lot. And that just was really soothing and satisfying to me. So to think about, I have this other entity helping in doing this was really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so to tap into feeling connected to something while you're doing the work, because you've had that experience. I project if there's enjoyment with doing something with other folks, what you can do while you're by yourself, within quotes, is to go to that experience, that place in you that is available to you when you're with physical people in this activity when it's just you. You and the mentor are connected in doing that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite amazing, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. That was good. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there time for one more person before we move on?
This is Zoe.
Zoe.
Hi. What I saw was that the resistance didn't really even show up that much, and I wonder how often I'm just believing that I don't want to do the task, when in actuality that resistance is not really even mine, and it's not even real, and it's so manufactured.
Yay, right? So whenever we feel resistance, we want to pick up the recorder and talk about how we're doing it and what would be helpful and whatever is going on that would assist us. And in that shift of attention, we're in the process of assistance and helpfulness and encouragement rather than resistance. And that was your experience. The resistance didn't even show up. And so it causes you to wonder how real it is. And you don't have to wonder, right, Zoe? We know how real it is.
Yeah, it is totally made up. And, you know, it wasn't even there. And so, maybe the trick is to study it and put a light on it. And if in that process of recording, of putting the light on the resistance, it seemed to disappear.
And would you say you were putting the light on resistance? Or what I heard you say is the resistance didn't show up. So where was your attention? Your attention was on just doing it, right?
Yeah.
Because we don't have to give resistance any attention.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we do, we would believe it. So the whole activity that we're looking at was to put your attention on making the recording from that place of encouragement and help. If you were making this recording for this person and you were that helpful, encouraging presence, what would that look like? It's a completely different experience. There's no resistance.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. All right, so what we are going to do next is to take our recording on its first test drive. The recording was made for the person who is going to do this task who normally experiences resistance. And so what we're going to do now is to get off the call and then listen to the recording you just made while you do the task. So listen to the recording you just made while you're doing your task. And we'll be back on the call at 10 minutes past the hour. All right. What was it like to listen to the recording while doing the activity? *6 to unmute.
This is Jessica.
Jessica.
Yeah. So this really, it really made clear to me sort of the process that happens when I do this activity, the process of ego problem making. And I think I saw that really clearly because I had this supportive recording, the supportive, reassuring recording that I was listening to, but still seeing how everything was, there was this attempt to make everything into a problem. And the recording is really just reassurance that it's okay, everything's okay, it's not a problem, all the choices that I'm making are okay. But it was just so interesting to see that really clearly, and then kind of thinking about how that process happens in other areas too.
Uh-huh. Let me see if I'm tracking, Jessica. So while you were mm-hmm. listening to the recording, you were able to actually listen to the reassurances while you were doing mm-hmm. the activity. But what you saw afterwards, I guess while you were reflecting on the experience, is that conditioning's process is to make a problem out of everything.
Yeah, and I was actually... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, and that this process that you just engaged with is to have your attention on something reassuring while you're doing the activity gives you a different experience of it than listening to conditioning making a problem out of something while you're doing something.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was actually hearing the problem making while I was listening to the recording too. It wasn't just afterwards. So there was a little bit of that moment of like, okay, what am I going to listen to here? And choosing, you know, having the reassurance there is an option as opposed to just having the problem making there.
Yes. That's so wonderful because it's interrupting that circuit, right? That waiting station. So you actually are present enough because there is the reassurance also going on to make the choice about what you'd rather listen to. I don't have to listen to this problem making. I can tune into this reassurance. And it's often what we say, right? We really need to train ourselves in this way by having something to have our attention on instead of the voices.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I love that reflection because if the recording isn't there, it's harder to have that option to put your attention somewhere else because you're having to create that in the moment amidst
exactly.
the problem making.
Yes, exactly. That's why you want to make the recording for the person and then listen to it afterwards because it's an interruption and it's a tangible mm-hmm. place. Attention to, and I don't know if this is also something that you can look at, right, Jessica? Which is, if I the recording doesn't have to be a one-shot deal, right? Especially if it's a recurring mm-hmm. activity, you can keep improving on the recording as you have this kind of experience, because you can add mm-hmm. to the recording while I'm doing this activity. The voice is going to make a problem and make mm-hmm. it a big problem. And I'm not going to know where to put my attention. And so what I'm going to put on this recording is that when I hear that voice, I can actually come back to the moment and choose where I want my attention to be. And that's part of the recording. And that's the power of the tool. As you keep using it, you can learn how to say what you need to into the recording to assist you through your task because you have an experience of being the person doing the task and having your attention distracted by the problem making.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow, I love that. So it becomes even more, because I'm there paying attention, I'm seeing in more nuanced ways what's going on, and then I adjust the recording to what I see happening to help myself with that.
Very dynamic and then duplicatable, mm-hmm. right? Because
right.
I it doesn't, as you said, this happens everywhere. And so a recording that we continuously make dynamically to assist us while we're doing the task eventually will capture every nuance that conditioning wants to throw at you while you're doing that task so that you have your attention mm-hmm. here. You can bring your attention mm-hmm. here, you can interrupt the voices, and train yourself to just listen exclusively to the recording because that's the trajectory mm-hmm. we're on, right? Right now, the attention mm-hmm. is split.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Thank you. That's really helpful.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
This is Joan.
And Carolyn?
Carolyn!
Hey, so what I was so astonished by was listening to myself, talk to myself, the way I talk to my cat and to the bees in my garden while I'm working.
Uh-huh.
And I realize I have this conversation externally that's sort of directed outward about how much fun this is, and okay, well, now I'm going to do this, and you know, and then I was just to be the recipient of it was thrilling.
Yes, you felt like those bees and the cat, right? Because you benefit from all of that encouragement and love I would project, right, Carolyn, the way you talk.
Yes.
Yeah. To be the recipient of that, it's just so delicious.
Yeah. And just that kind of recognition that love has been talking all the time, and to actually awaken to that.
Mm. Yes. It that's such an important point you're making, that love has been talking all the time, and for us to be the recipient of it.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Carolyn. And that's, I think, the whole power of the tool, which is to know that the love that we are always looking for is something we can provide. And when we provide it, it's a completely different experience than giving it.
Yes. Or having someone else give it to us.
Or having someone else give it to us. Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you.
Wow. Thanks, Carolyn.
This is Jennifer.
Jennifer.
Hi. I actually was cooking, and I have a long story about how I don't like to cook. And so as I listened to the recording that I made and continued with flipping these pancakes that came from a recipe that did not work the way it said it would, I was able to be in that place of, I'm encouraging myself. I'm hearing this encouragement, this loving talk, like so many others have talked about. And I was able to be curious about, you know, when you grate the carrot that finely, the pancake doesn't really cook this way. And all of these little curiosities, instead of frustration and the voice that comes from conditioning that's usually saying, get it done quickly, let everyone be so happy, they'll be so surprised, and you fixed a recipe when you're not the cook in the family. And instead of those voices, that I noted some thoughts about them, but I was just in this really wonderful place of, oh, look what you're learning about this batter and this process. I'm so blown away about the process. As much as we talk about it in practice, I was like, this is revolutionary. I'm in the process, enjoying the process with this person, this mentor voice just saying, go with it. There's no bad consequences. There's nothing going to happen to you if the pancakes don't come out the way that, you know, you thought. And it was revolutionary, basically.
Wow. Jennifer, that's so wonderful to hear, because what drops in for me when you say that, right, is, it's that it's an energy frequency, right? The negativity of the voices makes our system irritable and judgmental and sharp and grumpy and bitter and all of those sort of things. And so listening to it makes that there's an impact on our system when we're tuned to that frequency. And so when we're tuned to a frequency that's helpful and kind and encouraging, you can physically feel the difference in the body in terms of a sense of well-being that opens up a portal to other things, to curiosity, right?
Yeah, very true.
And that blows our mind away, that it's at some level of awareness, what am I tuned into registering that calibrates my entire being, and therefore actually alters my experience in terms of what's available to me.
Yeah, Yeah, it felt like an entire set of frequencies that I that the voices deny me. And it was like, and I can see right how that goes to compassion for others, but I can see the voices wanting to grab that and say, oh, you should. Well, no, actually being in this place provides compassion for others when they're frustrated or for when you're teaching them. I just gave it to myself. It's like, oh, this is, yeah, I'm just really grateful. What a beautiful exercise.
Let me see the following point, Jennifer, because that's also very important, that there's a way in which what arose is I have compassion for people who are in this situation when they're being battered by the voices. And mm-hmm. I think there's a recognition that unless we are in that frequency of encouragement and generosity and helpfulness and it's all okay, then it's only then that true compassion arises, because it is what is there rather than something that you have to find in order to give someone else, right?
Which That's is exactly,
the frequency
yes.
of the negative voices. You should feel this. So we're actually coming from deprivation there, not from a feeling of presence.
Exactly, exactly. Like two monsters are clashing. Like when I tried to teach my daughter algebra and all of her conditioning about how she's not smart enough because of this one subject, and then I would get that impatience. And I look at that, was years ago, but I look at it and go, oh, that was like these two monsters of the voices going, all right, it's on. And to see that coming from self-compassion while approaching others or responding to them or whatever, such a different frequency. It just invites the whole, experience to be from love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very paradoxical, yeah. Right? That the only way that the extent to which I can love is the extent to which I feel loved.
Yep. Yeah.
Otherwise, we're giving from deprivation. It the way we say it in practice is you can't ask a starving child to be generous, and yet we're required to do that all the time, right?
It's right. Right. Oh, thank you. It's so helpful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Sweeney, it's Diana.
Diana.
Hi, this is Joan.
And Diana, and who else?
Joni.
Joni. Okay, Diana first.
Hi, Sweeney. This was really a profound experience for me. I made such a short recording the first time, and I came into the call a little bit late today, so I had a much better feel for everything after the first set of calls that came in. And so I picked cleaning my litter box for my cat, mm-hmm. which is been a, you know, it's something I have to do daily. And what struck me about it is I have so much love for my cat. And so that's what came in on that first recording, is just the love and attention that we give each other on a daily basis. She's older, and what I really dropped into is I am happy to take care of her needs. And so this was, we had a little bit more time through this period, and so I ended up making another longer recording, like you suggested that we, you know, may need to be.
Good for you.
So I made a really beautiful recording and had time to listen to that back, and used that one while I was, you know, just in the area doing the task, and things dropped in to. That were very encouraging of things that I could do a little bit more efficiently, and how to just remind myself of the love that I have for her while I'm doing the task.
Mm. Oh, you know, Diana, I'm finding it hard to find the words to where I went when you're talking about that, because mm-hmm. we do love so much. We do. Why would we have a cat if we thought it was a chore, right?
Yes. Yes.
And I project, given what you just said, there's such an ongoing relationship with the cat. She's been in your life for so long, and you've shared so many moments, and she's part of your life, and there's such deep level of love and reciprocity of that love.
And yet, when we've got to do something like, you know, take the clean the litter box, that voice is there to negate all of that. It's not an act of love. It's not an act of attention. It's not an act of caring. It gets turned into something you would rather not do. And to be reminded by that recording that what I'm really doing is a labor of love, I really want to do it. That, I think, is what escapes most of us, right? We want to do something, and then we're told we'd rather not do that. That I don't want to do it, I don't want to. And then we miss out on the capacity to love and the capacity of love that we're capable of and are actually acting from.
Yes. Yes, it's been a stressful chore for me up until today.
Wow. Yes. A stressful chore up until today. And
correct.
And I think that is the training, right? That we now have a way, a tool which we can use to switch anything that's stressful to an act of love.
Yes, and I had an opportunity to sit down and make a list of 5 or 6 things that I'm going to be doing recordings for that conditioning has always made a kind of a stressful, I have to do this kind of, this is my responsibility. And, you know, it's my life. I've created my life. I've been very fortunate to be able to create everything in my life. And I can find joy and love in absolutely every task. There isn't any doubt about that.
Yes. I was just listening to something that says, if you're everything in life, you know, we talk about a lack of control, right? We have absolutely no idea how life unfolds, and yet we find ourselves in all of these privileged circumstances because of the privilege of having made certain choices. And so then, but there's so much that's uncontrollable. It's so unpredictable, right? But if your well-being is not based on how something goes, then your well-being is not unpredictable. And so to be able to bring that attitude of love and curiosity to everything that happens to you makes our well-being something we can actually predict, right? Because it's not based on something that's unpredictable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Diana. Joni.
This is Joni.
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, Ashwini. What I'm really enjoying about this, and it's also tied into the year-long retreat for me, the receiving, is how much for right now at this time that this human being is just needing divine compassion. And when I did the first recording, I started to do it, you know, while I was doing the task, and I found that I couldn't do the recording and do the task, you know, at the same time. So then I tried some different tasks, but in each place I was able to come back to just compassion for this person. And so what I realized was that I didn't have to do the recording while I was doing the task. So I actually did a recording, and then I turned it off, and then I was just doing the task with divine compassion, just feeling the compassion, you know, towards myself, feeling held, feeling encompassed, you know, in love. And that you know, allowed me to just be there and just doing stuff I got to do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, Joni, there's a way in which that's interesting, right? That the instruction was to do the task, to do the recording while doing the task, and that was something you were not able to do. And so just a couple of things. It's wonderful that we can find that divine compassion without the recording to assist us in the task. And we would want to be interested in why we are not allowed to do that reporting, right? Because there's a time in which you can find the compassion to accompany you on the task, and there's a time when you might not be able to. And so for the Joni who finds it hard to be doing a task without compassion, or, you know, even making a recording while doing a task is difficult for her, how about we find the compassion for her, right? So just on a training level, we are looking for those places in which we're so controlled by the conditioning that says, okay, let's do it my way, or it's too hard, let's do it differently. Or this is a way that we can accomplish this that is not necessarily what the instruction was. And that's a place to be curious about. Because oftentimes we're training for the times in which we can't do it on my terms.
Now, this is very helpful. This is really
right?
helpful.
If I can't control the situation, then I'm going to have to practice on life's terms, right? How do I train for that?
On what? Practice on?
Life's terms.
Life, I'm not hearing it.
Sorry, L-I-F-E. Let's just say that you're put into a situation that you can't do something different than the situation called for. How am I with that? That's what I'm interested in seeing, right? In being with. So is work controlled by a voice that says it's too hard, or this is not working, or I can't do this, let's do it my way, and we do that, then that's what we're being trained by, rather than just being interested in, okay, well, what's going on here? How can I bring compassion to a situation in which I need to bring compassion to, or where bringing compassion is the most important thing, not whether I did the task or I did the assignment or anything else. Within the circumstances that are dictated, for example, if I'm not able to do something, then that's a place for me to explore.
Okay. When that does happen, and it's not just here, but this has come up before, this comes up a lot, actually, I guess I've gotten good at workaround. So what happens is usually immense frustration that I'm not capable at that moment, and then, which is something that I've been working on, that's come up a lot. Started with the
right, and so that would be the recording you are making, right? So there's immense frustration, and so. If the mentor was with the person who experiences immense frustration, what would the recording say? It's all right. It's okay. Talk to me. What is it that's going on? How can I be helpful? That's the recording she needs to hear when she's experiencing that frustration. And it sounds like it's a familiar place, and you can go there and make that recording to assist her.
I can. I become identified when that happens. The mentor does come in, but what comes up for me is grief, you know, when I'm not capable or able. And immense grief and loss. And then I have some identification with that. You know, I'm angry that I'm not capable, or no longer do something that I used to be able to do.
And so, Joni, my encouragement there would be you do the two-handed, right? So basically allow that person to speak and for the mentor to come in, and then you listen to that, and then you would probably be able to make the recording that person needs to hear when they're frustrated. And listen to that recording when that voice says you're inadequate or you're not capable when you're doing some other task. But this is all training, right? These are all tools.
Yes, it is.
And we become really good at them.
Yeah.
And
you
keep
know, I'm
doing
just
it
so
till
amazed.
We do.
Yeah, Sweeney, I'm just so amazed how, you know, in starting out this conversation, and I have no idea what ended up here.
One second. If there's anyone who's not Joni, who's unmuted, would you please mute yourself? Okay, go ahead, Joni.
There we go. Okay. Yeah, no, I'm just like really, it's amazing where the conversation can go, you know, when I got on here.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Well, the whole intention of this tool, and we've got to move on, so I'll just plant the seed for you, is recognizing that when we think about something, it's a fragile way of getting out of a situation because it's in conditioned mind, which is why we want to train ourselves to be recording or being in that presence or invoking that presence while we are doing whatever is going on in conditioned mind, because it's an interrupt. Otherwise, the story is allowed to keep going. All we're left with is the identification.
So, Aswini, I can invoke it, you know, while I'm doing the task, but that is something that has been developing, where I can stop and take a deep breath and bring divine intelligence in, not all the time, but many times. It's just doing the recording, doing the task as you had instructed us to do. I wasn't able to do it. So,
well, that would be fun to see, right? To see if you can do that. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
No. Yes.
Thank you, Joni.
Thank you.
All right. One final activity before we go. We would invite you to close your eyes once again to listen to this poem by Hafiz. It used to be that when I would wake in the morning, I could with confidence say, "What am I going to do?" That was before the seed cracked open. Now, Hafiz is certain there are two of us housed in this body, doing the shopping together in the market, and tickling each other while fixing the evening's food. Now when I wake, all the internal instruments play the same music. What love mischief can we do for the world today? So the sky is truly the limit with this tool. We are never alone, and we can train to offer and receive the help, the assistance, the encouragement that we truly want in every moment. So if you would just take a moment to consider at least one other area you want to play with this tool. Just one recurring activity that you experience resistance with, that you might want to use this tool with. And when you get a sense of that, if you would open your eyes, please, and jot it down.
All right, so we can all be inspired and maybe steal from each other's ideas. Who would tell us where you plan to use the tool next? What's the resistance? What's the activity? And what might be the encouragement? Star 6 to unmute.
Erin?
Erin.
Hi, I'm Diane.
Erin and then Diane.
I have to do a lot of writing at work, and I feel a lot of resistance to getting that first draft down.
Uh-huh.
Knowing that getting the first draft makes everything else easier, but I can really labor there, so I can totally see doing a recording tomorrow when I have to first sit down at my computer and write and just talking myself through those first steps and, like, mm-hmm. just playing that for myself as I keep chugging along.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a sense of the kind of encouragement that would assist you?
I think it's what I know. There are things that I know work. Like, I know if I put together a not great draft, the next time I go back to it, it's tremendously easier to work with. It's uh-huh. showing up to no draft that's hard. So I think I can tell myself, like, you know when, you know ways to make this go well, which is just putting it on the paper.
Yes, insight is, you know, you have done this many, many times, and so you do know what works, and to have that on the recording to say, it's a blank piece of paper that's difficult, so it's fine, just get something on this piece of paper, and you know that the next time around it's going to be so much easier.
Yeah, and I mean, even though I know that, I still, I mean, just Friday, I was torturing myself over it, so.
Yes, exactly, and we do, right? Because until we do something like this where we actually talk it out, so when you make the recording, you're not in resistance. And so then you listen to the recording and you're not in resistance because your attention is either on the recording that's talking, that's saying out loud what you know to be true, or listening to that while you're writing. And that's
right.
really what we're
exactly.
doing here, right, is to mm-hmm. circumvent the attention being on the resistance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Was it Diane?
Hi. Thank you for this. This is really helpful. The next thing that I'd like to make a supportive recording about is going through my daughter's toys and things that she's outgrown. The voices really ramp it up on this one about sadness that she's growing up and love for the period when she was playing with whatever the heck it was, or it'll get me, oh, we never played with this, and then I feel guilty about that. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the voices that come up, and I think the what is true voices are is that it's exciting to pass things along to people who can actually use them. I love that mm-hmm. sort of connection of child to child, even though they don't meet each other, but sort of the life of kid stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As it moves from family to family or, you know, wherever.
Yeah.
And how making space feels really good, and how looking at it creates this whole unpleasant, guilty, gee, you really need to get to this, and why do you still have this, and other things that aren't helpful or supportive to actually doing the task.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I followed that last bit, Dan, so correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a lot of resistance because it puts you in touch with grief or it puts you in touch with judgment. But the real reason that you are motivated to do this is there's a way in which it's a different phase in your daughter's life. And so there's a way in which you're lit up about the possibility that everything that was loved by your daughter and you can now be loved by someone else. There's a way in which you could pass it forward, right?
Yes.
And that's such a lovely place from which to do the task rather than
why do you still have it, or whatever else that the voice wants to say about it. And did you say that it's wonderful to create space?
Yeah, I mean, just the stuff is sort of cluttering up the house, and mm-hmm. it's not being used, so let's pass it on to some place where it is going to be used.
Right. Well, it's such a metaphor for what goes on in our minds, right? It's so cluttered with the past and with what we should and what wasn't and what could be and so much that we're not able to be here for what it is. What is.
Yeah, and making room for what is by...
Making room for what is, exactly. Decluttering ourselves from conditioned mind, right? So it's metaphorically throwing out what we don't need anymore.
Yes, or better than throwing out, passing on to where it is needed and can be useful.
And to do it with, yes, well, I was trying to extend the metaphor and didn't go that far, right, Diane?
Yeah.
We don't want to pass on conditioned thoughts, but we certainly can, with love, pass on toys, which our daughter is not using anymore, and it's useful and helpful and loving.
Yeah, and fun to make the whatever connection that is, however brief, with the person who shows up at the door or on the driveway to pick up whatever it is I've posted to say, hey, do you want this? Does anybody want this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Finding a home, right? Finding a home that's loving for what was such a source of love for you.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Was there more?
No, that's it. I just think it'll be helpful to make a recording that focuses on the parts of passing on that I love, and not on dwelling in some story about sadness and time and all that other stuff that ego gets me with when I try to go through things.
Yes. Have the attention on where you want it to be. And make
yes.
the recording that helps you have the attention there. Perfect.
Yep, that's
Sherry
it.
Huber.
Thank you.
I didn't
Huber?
Hear. Sherry.
Hey, thank you. So I just want to say I've loved this. And the thing that struck me about it is how evident it is that ego really resents us wanting to have our life.
Mm. Yes.
Right? That's just what I've heard, and I've seen it, because I've been doing the workshop too, to see how, no matter, this is my life, and that there's a voice anywhere in the universe that would have an opinion about whether or not I should enjoy it, because that's what it comes down to, right? I'm meant not to be present for and enjoy my own life. I need to be listening to criticism about how I am all the time. And it's just, it's outrageous and it's crazy. And so I just wanted to say how much I appreciated this and everybody's talking about it, because that's such a common theme. And it's true, we talk about it, this kind of thing, all the time in practice, but seeing that's the common thread with all of this. Ego saying, this is my life, and you need to do it the way I want you to do it all the time. And that mm-hmm. what we're practicing is saying, actually, no, this is my life, and I'm going to live it the way I want to live it, which, by the way, is in love and kindness and generosity. Mm-hmm. So it was just really great, and I wanted to express my thanks.
Thank you, Sherry. And if I may reflect, what I heard you also say is not just that conditioning, that ego has an opinion about how I live my life and wants to rob me of the life that I have, but that in many ways I'm not actually allowed to live it because
yes.
I listen to a voice that tells me what I don't want to do and what I can't do and what I shouldn't do and how I feel while I'm doing it. And so I live an
yes.
entire, within quotes, live an entire existence in my head and actually fail to be present to the life that's being lived through me.
Yes, and that every person talked about how good it feels, you know, whether to realize, I love my cat. No, I don't resent taking care of her. You know, I'm curious about these pancakes. You know, whatever it is, this is my life. I want to be here for it, and I want to enjoy it. And I want to talk to everything the way I talk to the bees and my cat. And I want to talk to me that way. That's the world I want to live in. How
yeah.
do I know that? Because that's how I want to treat other people.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you, Ashwini. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Sherry.
I think that you have a little more time, so thank you for that.
I believe we do. Thank you, Sherry. Anyone else?
Carolyn?
Carolyn.
Jean. So I go online to order art supplies, and I fill up my cart, and the supplies I want are to go from student grade to professional grade, and you get better color and better quality. And what happens is I go to purchase, and all I get is inundated with, you can't spend this kind of money. You're not a good enough artist. And I'm going to make a recording to support myself in buying the tools and the paints that will help me grow as an artist.
Mm, how wonderful. And
yeah.
how empowering, right, Carolyn? I mean, how does the
yeah.
voice in your head know whether or not you deserve something or what your level
exactly.
of
is? Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we don't have to
yeah.
listen to that. And to know, you know, you would, it's an interesting way to say this. If your cat wanted something, you're not going to say, well, you're not quite professional as a cat.
Yeah, yeah, that's wonderful.
Right, it just never occurs to us to.
No!
The grade of
oh my
food
God.
That I'm going to give you is, ha ha ha.
Yeah.
Ha,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, if you were doing a better job as a cat, I'd get you better food.
Exactly.
Oh, that's perfect. Thank you.
Thanks,
Calvin. Jodine. Anna, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so the poem was perfect for me because the recording, the supportive recording I'm going to make is about why to get out of bed in the morning.
Uh-huh. Yes, why to get out of bed in the morning. Perfectly, right? What love mischief are you going to do today, Jodine?
Yeah, love mischief sounds like a great reason to get out of bed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think it's Anna.
Anna. Hi.
Yeah, Anna. Hi.
Yeah, I'm feeling embarrassed. I'm basically eating banana pancakes right now. When once one person talked about pancakes, ego really wanted pancakes, and I've been making pancakes. And now I'm eating them. I got so directed by ego during this call. I'm still listening, but I'm not, you know, I'm doing like other stuff while listening. And yeah, so I just kind of stopped doing that.
Well, Well, that's just an interesting place to explore, right? Because if someone loves eating banana pancakes, then she should be able to enjoy eating banana pancakes rather than be told by a voice in her head that she shouldn't enjoy herself, right?
Yeah. And once I got started doing the activity earlier, I was so excited to be doing stuff, and I just started doing all kinds of other things. So that was another process I saw, you know, instead of sticking with the one thing. Once that was done, I just kept doing other things.
Mm-hmm.
Without much consciousness, just doing. Mm-hmm. Being excited about doing.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting process for us to just observe, right? Because all we're doing is paying attention and bringing awareness to see where we are, where we suffer, and to assist ourselves not to be listening to whatever we're listening to that causes us to suffer. So it sounds like there are a couple of recordings that you can make based on what the voices say to you. One is around being so excited to do that you're not present for it, or doing something while doing something else and being judged for it, and not allowing yourself to enjoy what you love to enjoy.
Yeah. It's funny, now I'm feeling grief come up actually after this whole doing workshop for me. Okay, great.
And make a recording while she's in that place, whatever it is that the voices are doing to rob her of participating in this workshop, right?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Thanks.
Thank you, Anna. We have time for perhaps one more person to tell us what their facility is going to be.
Bonnie. Hi. So I'm having a painful reaction to phototoxic reaction to doxycycline at the moment. And what came up for me just now was how this sort of heightened arousal, in this case, irritation and pain, but how that takes me away from myself, takes me out of the present moment. And I have what I think is a great reason for it at the moment, but I also see how in life I spend a lot of time there where I'm too sensitive, or I get distracted, or have what it may be an over-emotional response to things, and it takes me away from myself and out of myself, and I'm then not able to be present in the way I would like to be with other people. And there's this sort of, even though I'm efforting and trying to be good, underneath there's a sort of an irritation, so I quickly lose it.
Yes, and so the recording you're going to make is to really support Bonnie as she's going through this process, not to change her, not to fix her, not to do anything that is undermines or invalidates her experience, but is simply with her as she goes through this experience. Yeah?
Okay, yes. I guess I did it again just now. Yes.
Yeah, just be with her. Love her. Take care of her. Ask her what she needs. And, you know, that imagery of what would be most helpful and supportive to her right now. Not the judgment of how she is, but how to be with her. Yeah?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Let's go have some love mischief with our divine companion, with whatever task we choose to do for the rest of the day. Thank you.